You exactly as you are is the most magnetic thing you could possibly be. It's all just about how you are showing up, because people love authenticity. And the biggest gift you can give to yourself and the biggest gift you can give to them is you.
From To Be Magnetic, this is the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As the leading destination for neural manifestation, we dispel the woo-woo in order to help you create real, tangible results based on neuroplasticity, psychology, epigenetics, and energetics. Our goal is to normalize the practice of manifestation and empower you to get into the driver's seat of your life in order to manifest the experiences, relationships, and things that most align with your authenticity. Part of our manifestation process entails expanding past your limiting subconscious beliefs. Therefore, by tuning into this podcast with interviews from experts, thought leaders, spiritual teachers, scientists, and those with neural manifestation success stories, you're starting the process of expanding your subconscious in order to see to believe that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, the process begins.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Expanded. Jessica here. I'm so excited. We have a really, really powerful process episode with someone you all know very well, our TBM coach, Atara Valentine. Atara announcing today is actually up-leveling out of the To Be Magnetic Manifestation Coaching Program and is launching his own business through his certifications in trauma recovery, immune disorder, cancer, PTSD, body image, NLP, EFT, and tapping, and a slew of other certifications that he has gotten over the years. He is also taking time to write his own book and launch his music, and even in talks about a television series. So Atara has so many things going on and has now up-leveled to the next version of his life and is sharing his process of how he manifested TBM coaching to begin with, the person he was at the beginning of this TBM work, and how it has made such an impact on him, and how he has utilized the tools for his own next up-level. We are so proud and excited for him to take this new venture. And even though you can't book a manifestation session with him anymore, you can absolutely book something in the trauma recovery space and learn more about that through Atara. And don't worry for anyone who's like, oh my gosh, I wanted a manifestation session with him. We still have three other incredible coaches that can help you through this process as well. Atara really has spread his wings and is on to his next chapter, and we are so excited and proud of him and cannot wait to see what unfolds. And it is also just so beautiful seeing someone who we work with so closely be able to utilize these tools while even teaching the tools. You know, sometimes people assume working with TBM, we're like constantly doing this work, and we also have to carve out our own time to put to our own practice. And it's a good reminder for me that I need to be diligent with my work every day, because so, so much is possible. So I know you guys are going to love this episode, and enjoy.
And now, a word from our partners. Welcome to the new year, everyone. So as you heard in a few episodes back, I finally am getting back into my self-care. And one piece of that has been so tremendous for me every single day is walking on the beach. And why I've been doing that, there's a multitude of reasons, but three of the biggest are to sun gaze, to get my dose of vitamin D, heliotherapy every day. And super important to me, especially living in Los Angeles, is to remove the positive ions through earthing. It's actually a practice I'm really aware of in my daily life all around. You've been hearing about that for years, how I biohack in certain ways. And one thing that I really appreciate, as you continue to hear us talking about and partnering with Blue Blocks, they have a couple of products that have really supported this process for me that are extremely
extremely accessible, practical, incredible. One of which that I really want to highlight is their new EMF harmonizing sticker. It's this incredible little sticker that harmonizes any of your devices, may it be your phone, your computer, your desktop, washing machine. It's endless how much EMF and radiation we're exposed to in our everyday lives. And it's really rad because you can even see in one of their unboxing videos that we have linked below, they actually show in real time when the sticker is on a device that it's emitting an incredibly high rate of negative ions, which neutralizes the harmful positive ions emitted that really affect us on a huge cellular level by creating stress to our cells, mitochondria imbalance that lead to a plethora of issues that I'm not even going to mention. So that's been tremendous because I'm very, very, very sensitive to EMF and radiation as a sentient being, to the point where even when we were remodeling the house, I even put EMF blocking primer on our walls to our bedroom. Most nights I take an extremely deep bath with Epsom salt, magnesium flakes, and baking powder. Again, just really, really, really getting those positive ions out. So I'm so appreciative of this new product. It's literally $14.95 US dollars. They're tiny, they're chic, and they're literally a sticker that you just slap on any of those devices that I talked about. You can hide them behind your desktop, put it on the back of your cell phone case, put it on the top of your laptop. I'm just naming off the places that I currently have it. So if you want to try anything from Blue Blocks at checkout, use the code all caps magnetic, M-A-G-N-E-T-I-C, to receive 15% off. I hope you enjoy them as much as I do. So this conversation surrounding Beekeepers Natural is a little overdue in the sense, did anybody get hit as hard as our household with colds this last season? I don't know if it's because so many of us haven't, you know, we've been isolated from one another and quarantined from one another, or because I have a new baby and it's their new immune system. I have no idea, but it was the roughest cold season of our lives in the sense that there would not be a time that one of us in the house would catch a cold, and then it would knock everybody else out like dominoes, and all the way down to our co-care person who I think was sick once a month for 5 months straight. And when you have a business and a baby, it means everything just stops. And it was totally insane. And the only things that helped us recover quickly or helped preventative on the two times I personally didn't get sick when Teddy or somebody else in the house did was this regime. I'm going to tell it to you. So the Bee Immune Throat Spray was just a daily. The moment we all started getting sick all the time, I literally kept it out on the counter and was like, everybody, please use this every single day to be preventative. I travel with it now. It's in my overnight case. It's in my purse. I'm always mindful because I don't want a full week to stop where I get nothing done anymore. So that's been huge and preventative for myself. Then once we would get knocked down, and the reason I would personally get knocked down in my personal opinion was I wasn't doing my beach walk. So it means I wasn't getting heliotherapy or enough natural vitamin D, and I wasn't sleeping because I have a little baby. So once I would get knocked down with something on the two accounts where I stayed above it with the Bee Immune Spray, then this is what we would work in. The Bee Soothe Lozengers. I personally really went with the ginger and lemon if I was trying to keep my immunity high. Or once I really had the chest thing going on and the throat thing going on, I would move into the peppermint eucalyptus. So what I love about that is you're getting the propolis, you're getting the zinc, which is so important. Plus why I think I was getting sick was not having enough vitamin D. It has the vitamin D support in it. So that trifecta is so effective at curving the immune system a lot quicker. And last but not least, I think everybody in here knows from my Instagram that at least twice a week, I will do the bee-powered superfood honey I talked about before as a face mask on my face because it has that propolis, royal jelly, and bee pollen, meaning that it's extremely hydrating. It has a huge cellular turnover, and it really helps even out the complexion. So this is how I interact with Beekeepers Natural. I appreciate that they have literally created a line of a modern day medicine cabinet for witches. That's what I'll say. It's for witches because it's truly the oldest medicine on the planet and it's of the highest quality. So today, Beekeepers Naturals is offering you an exclusive offer. You can either go to beekeepersnaturals.com/TBM or enter the code all caps TBM to get 25% off your first order. That's beekeepersnaturals.com/TBM or enter the code TBM. All right, on to the episode.
I am very excited for this episode. Our fantastic coach, Atara Valentine, is now in a massive up level. I keep thinking of your Instagram story of you napping saying, shh, I'm up leveling.
It's real.
Is in a massive up level, sharing his process of how he is outgrown his position here at TBM and is on to his next expansive things. Atara, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm good. This is really exciting and really bittersweet at the same time.
It's so wild because, and you were saying this too when we were on one of our calls, you coming into the work, like we had DM'd a lot in the beginning and then your process, and then you sort of planted the seed of like, oh yeah, it'd be cool if you had a male coach one day. And we were like, yes. And so it feels like all of those things lined up so perfectly and was just kind of like a dream situation. And now it's so full circle because you've done so much great work with the brand and now you're up-leveling onto your next ventures. And it's just like, the growth doesn't stop. You know, it's like you get one great situation and whatever, and then it's like the continued growth and the continued internal up level continues on.
Yeah, it's been honestly such a journey. It's funny doing this with you today because it's really how it all started. And I was so insecure even before we recorded that first process episode. Remember, I tried to pull out because I was, you know, I was in my process. And it's funny because I listen back and I know a lot of people still get so much from that episode. And I still have people reach out to me almost daily saying, I listen back to that all the time. And that's how I'm feeling right now. And I listen back to that person and he feels so far away from who I am right now, which is such an amazing feeling because I still had so much doubt at that time when it came to myself, right? I was manifesting. I was feeling way more confident than I ever did in my life, but it's relative to where I was before, which was a really low place. And just where I am now is so incredibly different. And I'm just so excited for the future and to kind of share everything with you today.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that's really, really interesting here is a lot of people are always after their sort of dream career. And I see like the dream career as similar to like the dream partner. It's not your one and only permanent situation forever. It's kind of like a continued process of that's the dream situation for right now. And then I learn and grow and then maybe something else comes of it. And I think there's just such a cool inspiration of continued growth and what that looks like. And I think your process throughout, you know, coming to TBM work and then building all this stuff on your own and on the side while also, you know, being a fantastic coach really is such a good example of, I don't want to say not staying stagnant, but listening to your pings of what you need at what times throughout the process and keeping up with your own growth.
Yeah, definitely. It's been really interesting because I really transformed as a human being and coaching has been such a gift, not only getting to meet so many amazing people in this community and really help people help themselves, which is really the most satisfying thing I've ever experienced in my life. Like seeing my clients' growth, I'm just as happy seeing them blossom as like if it were my own life and my own situation, because I've been working with some of these people monthly since I started doing this, and seeing them transform as well has just been so beautiful. And kind of the clientele, for whatever reason, and the reason probably being my process episode, to be honest, because it was so emotionally raw and vulnerable about my trauma and the pain that I went through growing up. That tends to be the person that would book with me. Somebody who had come into this work the way that I did, who isn't necessarily manifesting yet because they had to unblock. They had a lot of work like that to do. And it's been such a gift to be able to, you know, work with these people and then see people start getting, you know, huge TV shows, getting a book deal, their book coming out at number one, getting managers, like finding their dream partner, transitioning to their dream career, like having a baby. Such huge life things in the past, you know, year and change I've been working with them when they started in the same position that I have. And it was interesting because, you know, when I came into this, I was still full-time pursuing music and everything changed. I had started my hypnotherapy program, you know, when I first started with the brand. I just wanted to be able to help myself more and to help people that I was working with and just learn how the subconscious mind works. Why can we consciously know that we want something and we deserve something, but there can still be such resistance? And it was interesting because as I was working with people in my office, I have a large mirror behind my desk. And maybe 8 or 9 months into it, I caught a glimpse of my reflection when I was working with a client. And it kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, who is that? Because I never saw that version of myself before. That person who was looking back from me, he was confident. He was in his body. His mind was clear. He wasn't thinking about anything. He was just totally present and connected to what was in front of him, which was my client. And then I looked when I finished my session and my piano where I write music is in the same room. And I sat there and I said, why doesn't this guy show up when I'm sitting here? It's literally 4 feet behind where I'm sitting with the clients, right? And I looked in the mirror and while I was working on music, and I'd be hunched over. My mind was really busy. I was second guessing everything that I was doing. And I got up one day and I said, if this person is who has to show up when I'm sitting here, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And I made that vow to myself that the person who sat and worked with clients is the person that I wanted to show up in every area of my life, who is just connected and there. And so I started, you know, if I was able to be in a very good state post-session, just sitting at my piano, and the moment a negative thought would come up, I would start questioning myself, my mood would change. I would just say, nope, and close my piano and get up and leave the room. And it got to the point where I was able to maintain my state for a little bit longer and things started flowing out musically again. And I was feeling really good, but I realized I didn't need it anymore. All of the stuff that I thought music was going to bring me, this created. And I almost gave up on it. And I was doing a meditation one day and I just realized this might not be my priority anymore. However, that little kid who just wanted to be seen and recognized and appreciated for his talents, who worked so hard, he still deserves his shot. And so I decided when it comes to my music, I'm going to do it for him. And I wrote the best record of my life. I'm so excited to release that simultaneously. Yay! You know, I booked out solidly 6 months in advance. Some of my clients, like I still had sessions booked for December 2022.
Oh my God.
Like I never expected that my life could look like this. You know, when I first started with this brand, COVID first hit, Gavin lost his job. Then he was diagnosed with cancer. We didn't have insurance. We were living off of credit cards. We went from having money to like moving and all of a sudden just being hit and having everything taken away. And my life in these past 2 years has built into something so beautiful and so strong. And I'm just so excited to be able to say that because this works. This work works. I stayed diligent. I stayed committed to it. I learned the process inside out. I taught the process to people and I really lived it. And my whole entire life changed.
Paint the picture going back when you first started, the state of mind you were at when you did that first process, how that can evolve over the course of 2 years. What did you look like at that point? Where was your self-worth? And even though you obviously were calling things in and manifesting, there was such a transformation of internal work and even like external. You could see your appearance change, kind of morph more authentic into your true self. So paint the picture of how that person was showing up at the time.
Thank you. That's such a great directive and 100% spot on. And it's funny because I didn't even realize that I did that. I've done this my whole entire life and I never realized it until this last up level where I dyed my hair back to my natural color. So at that time, when I recorded that first podcast episode, I was in that really shiny place where you're manifesting, you know, you're getting the compliments. Like I would drive down the street and I would just expect the meter would be paid. I wouldn't have to do anything. I was like really in that sweet spot. I like to tell clients, there's that first really big initial wave that you ride. The first time you go through inner child and you get a really deep healing. Then you get that really deep release in the first time you do that shadow workshop and you're looking at all of this stuff that you didn't even realize was there. Then I cried through unblocked money, which I didn't even realize money could be that emotional until I did that. And that was my first initial thing. And I started feeling good about myself. First and foremost, I still wasn't manifesting. But by the time we got to that episode, I had done all of the workshops. I think I did Inner Child like 6 times or something at that point. I'd taken every word possible through the shadow workshop. I was in the daily practice every day, supported podcasts, just anything I could possibly get my hands on because I was so hungry for change. So when we did that episode, still there was that underlying piece, which is why I almost canceled, right? I said to you, Jess, I just don't know if what I have to say is important amidst everything that's happening in the world. And you were like, I think your story is going to be really helpful for people, especially with what is going on in the world now. And so I did that episode, felt so proud of myself, so confident. I'd never shown up that way before in a recording. But since then, what's been interesting is my internal change and my internal growth was so huge that obviously since I started this brand, I had blue hair and then my hair was like a lighter color. And then I felt kind of lighter in my spirit and who I was. And then I dyed my hair blonde and I kind of started dressing differently. And then I went through that period. And then this latest period, which is probably my biggest up level ever, I just started realizing that I was wasting so much energy and there were so many things in my life that I was still putting too much thought into. I feel this huge responsibility to just help and to share and to help everybody, even more who's in the position that I'm in. I need as much of my energy as possible. And that means not worrying if my blonde hair looks green or if I left my purple shampoo in for too long and it's silver, or does it look dry, or, you know, my clothes. I literally went and I threw all of my clothes out, donated, but you know what I mean? Got rid of them. I dyed my hair close to its natural color so I don't have to bother with it. I bought literally 6 pairs of pants in the same silhouette, different colors, same cut t-shirts. 2 trench coats, 4 hats, and like, I'm good. I don't think about getting dressed anymore, but I'm so just myself that I put it on and it's just like, okay, that's it. That's what I need for today. And it still looks good and I still have pride in it, but it no longer defines who I am. I define who I am just by showing up, just by talking, just by being emotionally available, just by trying something different out, just by being open with a stranger. I look for opportunity every day just to connect myself with myself, with people around me, with my environment. And it's really changed my personal relationship with me versus before. There was a piece of me that still wanted to be seen. And because I used clothing and my hair as an act of rebellion to make people look at me who were trying to ignore me throughout my life, you know, it was effective. It worked. And listen, I'm totally proud of that person, but I didn't realize really how big the role of my look played into who I thought I was. It's almost as if I constantly changed who I was, trying to find the best version of me. And that was still conducive to if I got the compliment, do people like the fragrance I'm wearing? Is my hair like cool enough? Is this cool enough? And I was kind of chasing that and I never realized it. And this last, I don't even want to call it a reinvention because it was almost like a rebirth. I never in my life thought I would have my natural hair color again. I never in my life thought I'd basically be wearing the same thing every day, like I'm a Simpsons character, and be totally cool with it. But here we are, and it's just been awesome because now I have all this energy to do all of these other things with. And I don't ever think about who I am or how I'm showing up or how I'm coming across. I'm just always there. Whether I'm sitting across from my mom, a stranger, or if I was at dinner with Hillary Clinton, they're getting the same exact version of me. And that's really been the biggest gift that I've gotten from this process.
How did you listen to pings on how you should navigate through that? And also, what blocks were coming up on that journey of pulling back all the layers and getting back to your true authentic self? And probably also being able to see yourself, the reflection example you shared at the beginning. What blocks did you have to work through? What sort of healing modalities did you lean on to work through that feeling of being seen and feeling comfortable?
It was interesting because my biggest block that I experienced was loneliness. At the end of the day, that was always what I was afraid of. I was a very late bloomer. I wasn't in my first relationship till I was in my 20s. I never thought I was going to have a partner. Honestly, I never thought I was going to have anything that I wanted in my life. That was my story. I was used to disappointment. I knew how to be resilient. I knew how to fight. I knew how to show up for other people, but not myself. So, you know, and talking about pings, I had compulsions. I didn't have pings for a long time. I had compulsive thoughts trying to get me to go back into my story constantly. Oh, call this person, do this. Oh, you need this. Oh, you're feeling sad. Go have a margarita with someone. You're feeling like this. Call like three of your friends and deal with their issues. And so I really had to embrace my loneliness and really learn how to love myself. I had no idea who I was. My whole life, every single thing that I learned was valuable, was based on how I made other people feel. And not in a good way. It really took away from me. It took all of my energy away. So by the end of the day, I didn't even have any time or space to get to know myself or listen to a ping pre-terminology, right? Pre even knowing what a ping was and doing this work. So in this process, my first, you know, probably year or two, I didn't trust anything. Then I started having weird pings where I'd be like, go to Air One. I'd go to Air One and like Jenna Zoe was there and I met her that time. Then I got a ping, you know, to go hiking with my friend. And then I got the call for the manifestation tour and I got a free ticket to that. And that's where I met my friend Asha, who's become like one of my best friends and, you know, was sitting front row and like Lacey called me out in front of the crowd. And I'm like, whoa, what is going on? That's really when everything started to click for me. But my block was definitely myself because I was really afraid to connect to my power, to connect to my voice, and to admit that I was the person who needed to make the changes. It was nothing that I could do outside of myself. It was nothing I could make anybody else feel. It was committing to the fact that, okay, I need to sit through these really bad feelings that I've been avoiding and figure out what's going on. So I would, if I woke up feeling incredibly codependent, I would be like, okay, because my husband was traveling a lot at that time. Okay, I'm not making any outgoing phone calls today, even though I'm uncomfortable, even though I know I can call so-and-so and make a plan, I'm just sitting within this. If somebody calls me, I'll answer the phone, but I need to just sit in my own space and figure out what to do when I'm just by myself. And that's honestly where a lot of the way that I work with people now and all the stuff I'm developing came from. You know, I educated myself. I obviously, you know, became a certified hypnotherapist, an advanced EFT practitioner. I learned mental and emotional release therapy, parts therapy, neurolinguistic programming, right? Like got certifications in treating immune disorders, cancer, inner child healing, PTSD, body image, trauma recovery, all of this stuff because I needed to find the answer. And I did. And what I found out is none of it's really that hard. And I'm not saying that to trigger anybody because it's the emotions that are hard. It's the meaning that we're giving the things that are happening that is hard. And that is really where we have to lean in. And that's why I developed all of the work that I developed, even the stuff that I offered within TBM, right? When we created the Extra Layers workshop, I really wanted to be able to integrate the work I was doing on myself into the brand because I did need so much positive reinforcement. And that was one of the first conversations I ever had with Lacey when we met. you know, about how I use the magnetic self DI and how I kind of leaned into, before we even had really reinforcing DIs, that's what I was doing with most of my time, was reinforcing the things that felt really good because I didn't know how to experience them. I never experienced that feeling in my body. I knew what to do with shame. I knew what to do with all this other stuff, but my real discomfort came from me trying to be actually happy. So all of the work that I'm moving to now is really helping people connect with that really honest, pure part of themselves. You know, even with trauma work, I don't work with trauma the way that most people do because I don't believe we have to keep looking at our trauma in order to heal from it. We know it's there. If anything, we've overly integrated the attributes that we connect to our trauma, right? We're over-associated with them. They've become a piece of who we are. So really how I work with people is redefining who they want to be in their life. Start making that familiar. Let's start putting that information in. How I work is trying to take the emotion out of the emotions. We will have a space to feel them, but we have to first learn why they're there and what they're trying to tell us. Because people have so much shame around, oh, my binge eating or my this or my shopping, or I keep sleeping with these people and I don't want to. And we feel this shame, but we learned somewhere that that serves some kind of purpose. And we have to understand what that benefit is so that we can actually find the solution for it instead of just being ashamed of it. Somewhere we learn that that's what works. So our subconscious isn't interested in like finding a better option. It's like, nope, this is fast. This is quick. That's our brain's job. Keep us safe and expend as little energy as possible doing so. That's why we get so caught in our story.
So when you, okay, so break down, if you're comfortable going through this, break down that loneliness trigger. So if you were feeling, okay, this heavy emotion and the scary emotion of loneliness is coming up and it's informing all of these, in a way, like numbing and distracting behaviors, running to friends, trying to fill it with time on the phone or filling my day schedule packed so I can't be alone and sit with that feeling because you're kind of just running. I think so many people do that. They just fill the space to run from the emotion. I went through that literally last week where I was so running from an emotion that my phone was getting lost in the mail and I kept getting the ping that was like, your phone's lost, so you can stop numbing with your phone so you can feel your emotion. And once you feel it, your phone will come through. And that's exactly what happened. I just got it yesterday after I journaled the night before. And I'm like, damn it, they're so on point. So when that loneliness is coming up and you say, I'm not taking the calls today, I'm gonna sit with this feeling. It's almost like, how was that feeling of loneliness serving you? What did you reframe it to in your mind?
Yeah, so this is how I really approach anything, any kind of trigger, any kind of emotion that we're not wanting to feel. It has a purpose. It has to. If it did not, it would not feel as intense as it does. So it is trying to do something. A lot of times what it's trying to do, though, is just protect you from feeling things that you don't want to feel. Fight flight kicks in so easily. I'm not anymore, thank God, but was the king of triggering myself constantly, right? I could make any situation happen, project it all over the place, and literally see that reality without even realizing that I was doing it. So for example, when I'm working with someone with trauma, I have a technique that I developed, and everything that I do, I use on myself first and foremost. And this is literally what I did, kind of a few things. And I share this on another podcast. And it's worth trying because it's really, it becomes a mind over matter situation. So what I would do, let's say in these days where I'm like, okay, I'm not calling out, I'm not doing any of this, is I would force myself to sit in the feeling. And I would do that a few different ways. One of the ways I would do first and foremost is I would set a timer for 10 minutes. And in this 10 minutes, because even with your phone, great example, how automatic is it that you say, okay, I'm going to be on my phone less. And then, you know, you see your partner touch their phone and then somehow you're on Instagram 5 seconds later and you don't even realize how it happened. We really go into all of this automatic behavior. So what I would do is daily is I would start really disrupting those patterns and making my brain and my body kind of have to really fight to be present because I did not know how to stay present. I was so in my automation. So what I would do is set my timer for 10 minutes, lay in my bed, on top of my covers, with no shoes on, just in corpse pose. And I would say to myself, okay, you're not going to move for 10 minutes. You're not going to talk. This isn't a meditation. I am focusing on my breathing, right? But I'm not trying to like clear my head. I'm just going to lay there. 30 seconds in, of course, your face starts itching. Then maybe half of your face feels like it's burning. Your leg starts feeling weird. The covers feel like they're made of fire. And you you see how quickly your mind is trying to just get you into what it's used to doing, to put you back into your comfort. And I would challenge myself like that. And then it started really creating this will. And then I got tougher mentally. Okay, no, this is fine. Because I did not like any discomfort. If there's an itch, like, I would just immediately go to it and then find something else, or find something else to distract myself. I was not used to being in my body because of my trauma. This forced me to be in my body. And it also forced me to look at how uncomfortable and unfamiliar that felt to my brain for me to be body focused. Because, you know, I was focused on my body with, like, my disordered eating and stuff, like looking in the mirror, criticizing everything. But, like, I was never focused on how I felt within my body. I was always dissociated from it. So this really helped me understand, wow, I am so far away from living within myself. And so I started doing that every day until I could get up to like 30 minutes. And then that just slowly grew. And then I would do that and do a little inner child work when I was in there, because always you end up crying, right, when you're fighting through all of those urges. And you don't even know why sometimes. And it really taught me so much where, you know, my husband will still come in, because every day I'll lay down and I still do a version of this. Now I am very strong-willed mentally, and my mind is very present, and I work toward that constantly. But still daily, I'll lay down, set a timer for 20 minutes and just, you know, fall asleep. If I fall asleep, just lay there. And I always end up crying because I need some kind of release. Crying's great for our nervous system. And my husband will come and be like, oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, oh no, I'm fine. It's like, why are you crying? I'm like, I'm not intellectualizing it. I don't need to know why I'm crying. My body needs to cry right now. Then my timer goes off. I wipe my tears and I get up. I'm like, okay, cool. What do I need to do now? So that's really how I worked through it. I didn't have to be like, what does this mean? Why am I upset? Where is this loneliness coming from? I just let my body be uncomfortable. I let me be uncomfortable in my body. And I just sat within it until it started feeling familiar to me again. And obviously, I've created more things off the back of this, but that was really the catalyst for the way that I started working with people privately in this capacity, because I realized we're all so disconnected from the one thing that is ours.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode to invite you, if you're ready to start your manifestation journey, or if anything you've heard in our manifestation episodes has piqued your interest, to begin. We have a la carte workshops in everything from the basics bundle, which is what we recommend to everyone who starts. It's the formula that actually teaches you how to manifest, unblocked inner child and unblocked shadow. We also have a la carte workshops on love and money. But the real gem is the Pathway membership, because it encompasses every single workshop we have. It's a year-long membership with full access to the few a la carte offerings we have and exclusive workshops not available anywhere else, such as the daily practice, which is what everybody in the Pathway uses, hopefully at least 3 times a week to daily, in order to truly create the new neural pathways that one needs in order to manifest, and houses the library of our deep imaginings, which is our unique hypnosis process that allows you to get into your subconscious and overwrite those old neural pathways, creating the new ones. You can use our special code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, to receive $20 off your first a la carte workshop purchase, or $20 off your first month of the Pathway. Again, that's all caps, EXPANDED, EXPANDED. Okay, now back to the episode.
Talk a little bit about, you know, I don't really think we've talked about it too much on the podcast before, but disassociation. How did you come to understand that? And what did that mean for you? I think that's very common. It's a trauma response that happens to a lot of people, and it can come from like big T, little T traumas. But what did disassociation mean for you? And I think once people understand that, they can see why, okay, dropping into your body is so important, because it can start to blend the feeling of escaping the body with dropping back into it.
Yeah, well, I think this is kind of a twofold thing because like there are two different kinds, right? First and foremost, I would say mental or emotional dissociation was the thing I struggled with the most. If we look at your belief system, for example, your programming, that's made of associations, positive associations and negative associations based on what was rewarded when we were little. Most of the things that were rewarded when I was little were what I did for other people. Oh, you cleaned the house. Oh, you got a good grade. Oh, you did this. You're being a good boy. You're being quiet. So things that were for the benefit of others very rarely were the things that I was as a human being, creative, artistic, funny, expressive. None of that was really rewarded. Whenever I would show up as myself, there was some kind of negative response. So I had a lot of negative association to that. So I was dissociated from who I even was as a person because I thought all that mattered is how I connected with other people, not with me. So that was a big hurdle to overcome. But second, with my body, because of my trauma and like being hit as a little kid and, you know, just a lot of sexual stuff that was said to me and by, you know, my stepdad and my whole stepdad's family around my sexuality, even before I identified as anything, I just wanted to hide. I never wanted to be in my body. I wanted to just blend in, be in the background. So I was really uncomfortable, even with touch. Sexuality was such a hard thing for me because, again, body, me being connected to my body in order to connect with somebody else. And I had all of these issues around me, what my body looked like, how I felt in my body. Is it safe for me to be seen? Is it safe for me to be touched? So we can see why we would numb because we have negative associations around that relationship because of how we were treated, because of what we were told, because of what we were shown. So all the positive things are all the distractions, all the things that felt good, like going and, you know, doing drugs or eating a bag of cookies. And then, you know, I would literally just engorge myself with food because it was the only time I would feel grounded when I was absolutely stuffed and bloated and heavy. Otherwise, I felt completely disconnected from my body and food was love in my house. So for me, that was the only time I connected with my body is when I would get to that point where I'd feel over full.
Yeah. And in that exact example, you can see why some of these behaviors that we don't like or these triggers and whatnot are serving us because it's not the ideal way it's serving us. We don't want to have to be stuffed to the gills before we can feel our body. But that was serving you. That actually helped you to connect with your body when it felt so disconnected and unsafe.
Totally. And even something like credit card debt, you know, it's an issue I deal with a lot of people who are dealing with money and they're like, oh, I'm so ashamed. I have this and I just never learn. And cut to me like online shopping again. And now I have $20,000 of, you know, whatever. And so we'll go in hypnosis and I'll actually have them pull their credit card debt or the feeling around it and sit across from it and talk to it. What did this do for you? Because there's a comfort. It helped you survive. It gave you happiness. It was the way that you learned to be happy. So we can't be angry with it. It's just doing what it's supposed to do. But if we can really understand that and love it and appreciate it for the way that it showed up for us and own that this is something that we learned, this is something that we've reinforced, then we can shift anything. Then we can slowly start creating a new comfort, slowly take one step toward who we want to be. We all put ourselves on this trajectory that, especially with shadow work, for example, as soon as we start noticing, oh, this is one thing, I'm so ashamed of this, I need to be this, and we do this 180. But did we learn anything in that process? No, it's completely reactive, right? We didn't expand our consciousness. We didn't learn anything. We didn't slowly show up differently, pass tests, learn lessons. We're just trying to be somebody else. The only thing that can happen in that situation is that we're going to go back to who we were because our consciousness is still there, even if we physically propelled ourselves forward.
What expanders did you look for in this interim when you were shifting out of this feeling of loneliness and trying to really embody being seen in a way that felt safe to you in a way that wasn't from a place of insecurity?
Yeah, so honestly, I've always had a really hard time finding expanders. I've never had a real full expander, not one in my life. I look at attributes in people. I really like someone like Harry Styles, how he owns his sexuality, this real balance of masculine and feminine. It's the only thing that I look at him for. I look at my husband for the way that he can connect with anybody, any single person. He's been an expander for me since the day that we met. He can walk into a room and make every single person feel like the only person in the room. That's always been really inspiring. I look at myself, even past versions of myself, when I was really in that feeling after a performance where I was just so full of confidence. I can connect with that. That's a feeling that I know. So that's really where I put a lot of my attention. Someone like in my childhood, Madonna was a huge expander for me because she was from the Midwest. And I'm like, wow, she lived in Michigan? Like, if she can live in Michigan and become this, I can become this. And those are still probably the people to this day. I'm just now starting to be surrounded by people that I really have a lot of respect for in the way that they do things. And like, obviously, to be magnetic is just growing and growing and seeing the way that this is just unfolding and becoming something so much bigger is so inspiring. And the next place that I'm going to, super inspiring as well. And me building my own thing and being around other entrepreneurs and people who are building businesses that are friends of mine. It's so nice looking around and seeing people who are just building something. And I think I spent so much of my life surrounding myself with people who were kind of had the same trauma that I did, and none of us knew how to do anything about it. And we definitely were able to really see each other and understand each other, but none of us could see past where we were. And now it's the first time in my life that I look around at my group of friends and I'm like, everybody is building something, whether it's in music, whether they're a chef, whether they're in wellness, whether they're, you know, a trader, everybody is really building and creating something and supporting each other. And it's so inspiring. So really pay attention to the people that you surround yourself with. Are you sitting and talking about the same people you don't like, or criticizing the way that people look, or, you know, because if you are, I promise you, you're going to be having those same conversations with those same people in 3 years, right? Yeah. And I wish somebody would have told me that, like, way back when, because I actually had to let go so many of my close friends because they're just stuck. And I love them still. If they needed anything, I'm here for them. I just can't continue living that same story. I'm not that person anymore. The person I am right now, I'm not going to be in a year from now. And I hope that keeps changing, because I'm no longer defined by my environment. I'm no longer defined by my friends. I find the people that I'm aligned with, and we grow together or we don't. And that's okay. It doesn't mean they're better or worse, but I put my time and my energy into myself now, and my whole entire life has transformed because nothing is holding me back. And I allowed it to before, because I was like, oh, well, loyalty, and I have to, even though I feel bad every time I see this person. Like, they were so good to me when I was being bullied when I was in the fifth grade. But it's like, I'm 40 years old. But like, because my association to that was so deep, it's like, oh my God, well, I'm abandoning them. And it was really my issue. And now I'm like, oh, no, that's totally fine. I could be like, I love you. I'm so grateful for A, B, and C. But we're not feeling good when we spend time together anymore. And like, isn't that what should be happening? You feel like I can't be there for enough for you, or it's not enough, or, you know, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I love you, but I can't have a friendship like that anymore. I need my friendships, I need my life, I need my relationship to my family to be easy. I'm fine. Be yourself. I don't care. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be anything, but don't expect me to live your life for you. And I spent so much of my life in that space, and now I live my life for myself.
I think when it comes to friendships, there's that element of it kind of goes under the blanket of loyalty, but really it's like codependency coming up. Oh, I'm so loyal to this friend. It's like, oh no, I feel bad to abandon them because I feel like I don't want to be abandoned, and I've felt abandoned before, and I don't want to put that on anyone else because that would feel painful, and I wouldn't want to cause that person pain because I felt pain. It's such a delicate balance in friendships too, because you have to almost, as you're evolving so quickly from year to year, you have to really evaluate, that was serving me then, but is it serving me today? And do I want to continue to put effort and my energy towards this dynamic if it's not serving me, even if you just take a break from them? I mean, I remember when I was trying to uplevel my finances and I was surveying the 8 people around me, and I was like, all of these people complain about money all the time. No wonder I'm not in a great place here. Let me spend a week consciously reaching out to people who I know are doing great and secure and abundant with their money and see how that changes. Made a huge difference. And now I can still hang around the other friends who may complain about it or be unhappy with where they are. A, we just don't talk about money, and B, it doesn't bother me because I'm not in that place. So it's interesting. How did you find, as you were going through that process of up-leveling, did you find that you, those people that were helping open the doors to the next step kind of just naturally showed up?
Yeah, it's been really interesting because I think really what happened was I showed up. And kind of what you're saying in that situation, oh, well, I would be like this with my friends and the loyalty versus codependency. It's, well, I don't want to disappoint them, so I'll do this. I don't want them to feel abandoned, so I'll abandon myself because that feels so much more comfortable and natural to me.
Yes.
And I think I spent so much energy doing that. And that's why, you know, I've had amazing things happen to me in my life, but they still never worked out because I was not ready to have an amazing life. And that is just the truth. I was signed to Atlantic Records. I had a huge record deal. I worked with the same producer who was working with Bjork. I met her. I met all these, you know, big musicians at that time. I hung out with Sia. I did, you know, all of this stuff when all these people were coming up and everybody else's career went forward and mine didn't, because I was so busy seeking validation to believe that I was good and abandoning myself trying to find that. I was putting my needs aside because I would have a really big thing. You know, I got invited to a dinner at Elton John's house with my husband, and it was my friend's birthday. And I was like, oh, I can't, it's her birthday. You know, so that could have changed my life. And I always chose other people over me. And look, I'm a great friend, but there's a difference between being a great friend and being a codependent friend. And I was 100% a codependent friend. And the moment I started showing up for myself, really things started opening up because I was open to it. I took the blinders off. Even when people tell me their manifestation list, it's like, this is a great marker. We definitely want to know where we're going, but don't be so rigid because the tests that are going to come are feedback. It's not just about pass or fail. It's like, okay, what does this mean? Because maybe what you have on your list is a little too rigid and specific. Maybe you have something on your list that feels a little out of reach because you're used to setting yourself up for disappointment. So we unconsciously create this construct so it doesn't come through so that we can just confirm, yep, see, I can't manifest. It doesn't work for me because we're being so specific, trying to attach a feeling that we want to feel to that manifestation instead of learning how to give ourselves that feeling so that we can take the boundaries off and be open to all of the potential around us, not just that one thing. And I think that's a really important lesson because otherwise we can get very stuck. We want to know the things that we're calling in, but we also have to be realistic at what is coming through. Cool. What does this mean? Am I unblocked enough? Am I expanded enough? Do I want this because I genuinely want this? Or do I want this because I think this is going to make me look successful? Or if you think you're going to have a relationship and with the moment you get that relationship, you're lovable, guess what? When you get there, it's not going to be there because that is something that you need to feel in order to align with your relationship. What if you could feel successful and then align with your career? Your career doesn't make you successful. If you think it does, when you get there, you're either going to have imposter syndrome and fear it's going to be taken away from you, or you're going to be like, oh, where did my success go? Oh, it must be over there. Let me try this. Or maybe I'm in the wrong field. Maybe I need to go over there. If we keep chasing things that are outside of us without really checking in with what our needs are, that's not going to help us get the things that we want. And it's important to remember that in this process. These things are 100% a great marker, but also be open to something better or something different, because that bridge job might completely change your life, just like this did for me. I had the blinders on with my music career. This is how it looks like. And my list was, I want to Spotify this and I want this manager. And I don't care about any of that stuff now at all. And I have this whole world that opened up to me. And you know what? People care about my music now. All of these people, and I can't mention names, but like really big bands and really big celebrities are like, oh my God, what's going on with your music? And how can we help you? And I don't even care. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, what can we do? Right? Because I have all this other stuff that I'm excited about. That stuff still came. It just did not come from the place or the direction that I thought it was going to. I had to be open to the process, live through it, and have this experience in order to understand what my soul actually wanted.
Yes. What is your authentic code right now?
it's kind of been the same for a long time. It changed a lot at first. When I first came on here, being seen was on there. That was a really big thing for me. But now it's still education, movement, creativity, and really teaching. Education is myself, right? But teaching is a big one for me because I know everybody is capable of learning. I know that everybody is capable of making changes in their life. Even small changes have big results in the long run. And I've really made it my purpose to take all of these things and have them work together so that I can really connect with people in the biggest way possible.
When you think to, you know, you have a lot of expansive and exciting up-leveled opportunities coming up, and I don't know how much you can talk about what things, but when those started to come through, what was the energetics around it? So did you have tests right before they came through? Were you working through a specific block? Like, how did you get connected on those manifestations?
Lots of tests. It was really interesting because my test came through and I used to really, you know, do what so many of us do. Is this a test? What does this mean? Right? Did I pass it? Did I fail it? And it was funny because I'm kind of at the point now, like, I don't really care. I'm like, cool. Is that going to happen? Okay, great. If it's not, the right thing's going to come. And I know that it will. But so a lot of these manifestations, it was interesting because, for example, a few months ago, I was reached out to by somebody and they were developing a TV show. And this person's like pretty prominent in the wellness industry. And they put together a dream team of people that they wanted to be on the show with them. And the production company called me, you know, back and were like, okay, so we hate the dream team, but we'd love to have you and so actually be partners on the show. Would you be up for that? And I was like, totally. Yeah, let's do it. So we started talking and things were getting more in depth. But then the person who I was supposed to do it with last minute chose to go with someone that they'd worked with before. The production company kind of alluded that they thought maybe I was going to take more attention than they were comfortable with, even though that was never my intention, right? Like, I knew I'd be the sidekick and was totally happy in that position. But so the whole thing kind of dissolved and I was like, okay, that's fine. And I literally felt nothing about it. Not disappointment. I was just like, okay, well, that was just a cool thing that happened. And then literally 24 hours later, they reached out and they were like, you know, we really don't want to lose you. Would you be interested in developing a show around you? And I was like, yeah, let's see what happens. So I was supposed to sign this contract. Gavin's cancer came back. Big test because I had to put everything on hold, like all the stuff that did start moving. Obviously, his health is way more important than any, you know, TV show or any other thing that could happen to me. So that happened. And then this agent from William Morris came forward and was like, oh, I see you like the new like Dr. Phil, like young and cool, but direct and, you know, all of this stuff. And so she started connecting me with some of the other agents at William Morris. And I was talking with them and lots of tests around, you know, 3 weeks go by, they don't respond to an email. And before I'd be, you know, I would just give up. Be like, oh, they don't care. And like, nobody cares because that was my internal representation and, you know, what I was used to.
Right. Like taking it as a personal, like, oh, yes, yeah. This confirms my limiting belief.
Yeah. I guess I'm not good enough. Guess they don't believe in me, all that stuff. And I was like, hey, I sent you an email 3 weeks ago. Are you planning on responding? <You know? laughs> And then they'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Right. So they ended up reaching out to a bunch of different production companies. And then the holidays came. Then I had to wait again, just all of this stuff. And basically, after going through everything, and I said to the initial production company who I loved, like, I just need a moment to kind of figure out what is right for me because they wanted me to sign an exclusive contract for 2 years, like a talent hold. And everyone's like, no, you should just sign it. What if this goes away? And I'm like, look, like if this goes away, they're not the right people for me to work with. And I fully believe that because I know what I have to offer. And the people that are going to be around me in this next phase of my life are going to be people who see that and want to be a part of it. And so I told them, okay, listen, I want to do this TV show with you. However, I created it. Jerry, this guy, came up with the name. I'm not signing a 2-year talent hold. It's not exclusive. I want to be executive producer. So if it does get sold, I'm in all the network meetings. I want to maintain the intellectual property. If you guys can't sell it, it comes back to me. Jerry gets to keep the name. This is what it looks like. These are what the sections are. This is the message. This is what I want to do. And they were like, Literally yes to all of it. So that just happened, which is amazing.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Yeah, so we're going to start working on the sizzle reel and all of that stuff. You know, I've been working on a book, which I've talked about for a long time on here and just within the community. And I was talking with Dr. Tara a few weeks ago, and I just kind of read her the beginning of the book, and she was like, Atara, this is incredible. And I was like, thank you. And she's like, no, it's really good. She's like, do you have a publisher? And I was like, I don't. She's like, well, let me connect you to the woman who does my stuff and whatever. And so it's like, then William Morris is like, well, let us connect you with people. So there's all of this stuff like that happening. Then also I went to a dinner recently, or, you know, a few months ago with the woman who started the pattern, and we just hit it off, and she read my chart, and I said to her, like, I hate astrology, but I love what you do in your app. And I was like, you know, and this is what I think I can offer and what I could do for your brand and whatever. And we just like really hit it off. And so I signed a contract with them. So I'm writing material for them and for this whole kind of expansion that's going to be happening. And it's just, it's such an exciting time. And obviously seeing private clients and going to start creating protocols for people who are having issues with their nervous system or immune disorders or cancer or trauma, just so people have tools to really connect with themselves in the way that we were talking, right? Who want to do manifestation work, but they need that stepping stone in order to get there, or they're already in the process, but they need something to help kind of ground them going through it. And that's really what I learned my gift is through this process, is being able to take things that seem very complex or seem very heavy and be able to ground them in a very pragmatic way that's really effective for people's growth, so people can just be happy in their lives. And I'm so excited to be able to say that that's what I do for a living. And it's not at all from a codependent place, which feels good. And it doesn't take anything away from me like it used to, when I would overprovide to all of my friends and my family and all these people and spread myself so thin. It actually fills me up for the first time.
It's so interesting too, because, so there's a couple things that I'm noticing in your story of that as well, which is, as you decided to fuel yourself through giving yourself that space and filling up your own cup, you didn't need to do any dog paddling or desperation energy around whether or not they're going to follow up on this email from this production company and whether or not what's going to happen here with this client or having to do this or whatever it is. There's no running around because you're internally fulfilling that need. And so you can just be on the receiving end of things and be at a place of deservingness to allow it to come in. And even with the production company, I mean, such a clear test of, will you sign this exclusive agreement and blah, 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 blah. And taking the pause and saying, what actually feels right? Dropping into your authenticity, listening to your pings and saying, you know what, if this is the opportunity, this is not the only opportunity. I know how this game goes. It's this or something better. So I don't need to be holding on to it so tightly and so afraid of it going away. What does a best situation look like for me? And then calling that in and getting met with all of those terms exactly how you wanted.
100%. And, you know, it's interesting because another great example of that is just even my role within this brand. You know, I came on to this and I learned so much. I really felt when I came on, there was going to be this great reception. I was going to get all these bookings, and I got 2 bookings when I first came on, even though the brand was so supportive, right? They put me on the story. They gave me a discount code. They were sending emails and nobody wanted to book with me. And by the end of that first month, I think I got maybe 15 or something like that. And now cut to literally 6 months steady, plus things through December. Someone just literally went on, because obviously my bookings are closed now because I'm leaving. And someone messaged me, oh my God, I just went on the website and you're booked through 2022. Can I book for 2023?
Oh,
and I was like,
gosh.
Whoa, what a crazy change, because all I really learned how to do was be myself. That's it. Again, I was with Dr. Tara last week, and we were filming something and we were talking, and I said, it's so crazy because I felt I had so much to prove my whole life. And I was always trying to figure out who I had to be with the look, like you were talking about earlier. Like, what is the edgy thing look like? What makes me look successful? What makes me look like this? And I would almost always create the image first and grow into it. And it was interesting because now I don't think about that at all. I just always focus on how am I showing up? And one of the things I always tell clients, and the biggest gift that I learned from this work is, how would I show up in my DI 2 hours from now? What would I be reprogramming? That's how I started thinking throughout my day. And how do I show up as that person right now? And it changed everything. And when I came on and we did those first initial takeovers, right? And it was funny because Tara was saying like, oh, I was really triggered watching that. Oh my God, I have to do this. Like, how am I going to do that? And then the other coaches, because we didn't know each other that well at that time. We didn't know each other. You know, Heather and Amanda were on. Sawa didn't come for a little bit later. We didn't know how we were going to get along. I'm like, is it going to be competitive? Are we going to like each other? And we just became such great friends, all of us. And we really got to know it. We're like on a text chain. We talk every single day, like just love and support each other. Again, like one of the coaches said, oh my God, I can't do that with that story. And we did the takeover because let's just face it, I crushed that takeover with like the Rocky jump roping and then like all of this stuff.
You did. Yeah. I remember that one.
And I wish I had a copy of it, but I don't. But it was really funny because after one of the coaches was like, oh, well, I don't know if I can do that. And another one of the coaches said, oh, well, don't worry. Like that's what Atara does. And like, that's who he is. And I was like, no, that's not just who Atara is. That's what Atara had to work really, really hard on in order to be able to show up that way. And none of that was natural. Atara used to be the person who would whisper to people to speak for him. I was the person who, you know, was leaning against the wall, pretending that they wanted to be on their phone because they were too uncomfortable to talk because they were afraid to be judged. I was the person who thought I had nothing to say. I had nothing to offer. I was so embarrassed to just be myself. And that is not who I am at all. And that's really the magic. That's really magnetism. You, exactly as you are, is the most magnetic thing you could possibly be. It doesn't matter if you have everything figured out. It doesn't matter if it's a little messy sometimes. It's all just about how you are showing up because people love authenticity. And the biggest gift you can give to yourself and the biggest gift you can give to them is you.
Mic drop. Yes, that is the key. That is such the key. And you're such a great example of that in your growth. And oh my gosh, there's so many. I'm like so sad to see you go, but very, very excited for such a huge up level and so many more chapters and pieces of your story to unfold in front of all of us. So obviously you can't book a TBM coaching session with Atara anymore, but he still is open for personal booking. So how can people find you, connect with you? What are some of the other offerings you're doing in your different sessions of bookings?
So the company's called The Seed Level, and I'm hoping the website is going to be up. If it's not, I will just send a booking link. But essentially, I'm doing hypnoframing, which is essentially kind of going through and excavating the things that aren't working and then placing the new information in so we can really start healing ourselves, especially these deeper wounds. I'm doing EFT or tapping. It's a great way to get your energetic system back in alignment. Really helps with trauma, any kind of very heavy blocks, really negative programming. It's a great way to access that without having to sink back into it. I'm doing something called mental and emotional release therapy, where essentially we use your emotions as the guide to pull up these feelings and go back to the moment that we made certain decisions that things were true so that we can release anything that is trapped, any associations, any beliefs. Parts therapy, which is an unconscious process where under hypnosis, we almost call different parts of you forward and mediate to create solutions to find out what purpose they're serving, see if we can assign them a new job to get everything working together for the greater good.
Oof, love parts therapy and internal family systems, like those dynamics I'm so fascinated by right now.
It's so amazing. With that in particular, it's such a beautiful process to watch. And when I do these sessions with people in particular, they'll ask, you know, oh, can I have the audio? Because a lot of times this is a great thing to do with people who are overly intellectual. Because again, We start looking for meaning in things because we like that perception of control. But with parts therapy, what's so interesting is because I get people into a very, very deep state of hypnosis, the answers are very childish. And they're very simple as far as the words and the language that they're using. But the emotion is pure, right? Because emotion is actually simple. It's not this complex thing. We make it complex by staying in our prefrontal cortex, by trying to intellectualize everything. But emotion's actually very simple. And it's a great way to really understand what is happening. So a lot of times when I do that, people want to hear it immediately. And I'm like, no, just give me a few days and then I'll send it to you. And then they'll kind of email me 3 days later and be like, I feel like a different person. Can you send me the session now? And I'm like, yeah, I was just waiting for that because I don't want you to listen and judge what you're saying or how you're talking, because people do get almost childish in their response because some of these wounds are so deep. And then lastly, I'm doing neurolinguistic programming, which is really about consciously learning how to create a state, assessing people's language and seeing maybe where there are thinking errors and kind of limiting beliefs, even in the way that they talk, so we can start reframing things in real time, and then teaching them kind of how to embody different energies in their conscious state. So
you're stacked. You got all the things. Stacked.
And I just feel so blessed and for all of this and for the support of the brand. And I, in particular, just want to thank you, Jess, for being one of the first people in the company to really see me and reach out to me and give me a platform. And it's so appreciated. And Lacey being so generous in everything that's happening and leaving, and just the coaches, they're literally become my closest friends. And it's just been such a beautiful experience. Thank you to everybody who's seen me in this process, who's allowed me to see you and work with you one-on-one, if we haven't had the opportunity to do that, for interacting with my videos, my posts on Mighty Network. Stick with the work. I know it can get hard at some points, but it really does work. The coaches are amazing. Fully utilize them. And if you ever get really stuck with something deep, you always know where to find me.
Oh, absolutely. And what's your Instagram too? So people, I'm sure everyone's already following you and taking everything you have in there, but just so anyone else who wants to stay in touch and keep to up to date what's happening with television and book and all that stuff too.
It's just at Atara Valentine.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Atara. I am so excited for you. This is going to be a really powerful year. I can feel it.
Thank you. Love you. Love the community. Love the team. Thank you guys so much for letting me be a little piece of your journeys.
Yay. Thank you. Bye, guys. It is the end of February, and we have another 5-star review winner. This one has an incredible manifestation story. So enjoy. Our 5-star review winner for February for a 1-year free membership to the pathway is Becky4444. She writes, found my personal pattern and manifested a new car. Whoa, you were not kidding when you said to find your patterns in order to fast track your manifestation. I've been a pathway member for a few years now, and it has been truly life-changing. I started for a few reasons. One, to understand and heal past wounds of low self-worth patterns. Two, to foster a deep relationship with myself after losing a child. And three, to step into a new phase of my life as the driver, not the reactor. I want to note all of that has happened and more. In 2021, there were tons of episodes on honing your patterning to see how to manifest the fastest. I looked through old journals, and with the help of the TBM Manifestation Journal, I can clearly see what my pattern is, and whoa, did it work fast. On 1/9/22, I went to look for a new car as my existing lease was running out. I was told at 1/18/22, the car I wanted will not be ready for 12 weeks. That would mean extending my current lease, paying registration for a year, and incurring fees from the dealer. Additionally, the car wouldn't match my entire list and I would have to settle. That night, I had a very vivid dream about a friend from college I'd lost touch with who had some lingering anger over a mix-up decades ago. I followed the uncomfortable ping and sent her an email on 1/19. I immediately felt a sense of relief. The next day, 1:20, I heard from the dealer, and not only did they have my car, but it was my entire list, and the car was on my driveway by 1:31. Looking back at my manifestation list, it's when I followed the uncomfortable emotional pings that my manifestations came screaming in. I have manifested a very expansive bridge job, a dog sitter over the holidays when no one was available, a top-end yoga mat for free, over $100 off an eco cookware set I wanted that seemed like it would never be on sale, a ring that I found on the beach when connecting to my lost son, walking in the water. I said, "Hey, buddy, if you're around, send me a ring to say hi." And my older son came running up with a beautiful turquoise ring on his hand that he had found buried in the sand. A long, fulfilling marriage, and so much more. I cannot say enough about this work and cannot wait to see what happens next. Happy manifesting. I mean, wow, this story is so powerful. And I think the real key here is we have so many episodes on patterning and are going to continue to do more on the topic, because once you can understand what your nuance is, what your key to this process is, it's really going to make it so much more easeful in order to see when and how things are coming through and how to navigate bit by bit. This person noticed the pattern that they get an uncomfortable ping, a ping to do something that may be fearful to step through, but is not actually fearful in the fact that their safety is in jeopardy. And so when they can step through that uncomfortable ping, they can manifest on the other side of it. And so listening to that ping of making amends from the past and working through, you know, maybe it's a codependency issue, maybe it was a people pleasing issue, maybe it was accountability issue, whatever it was, they needed to work through that block by messaging that person. And in doing so, it released space and energy to feel aligned with the car manifestation. So hopefully that was expansive for you all. And Becky, please write into our intercom to receive your one free year to the pathway. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review to be considered next month. Thank you guys, and have a wonderful, wonderful week ahead.